This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I keep thinking it's fall, then some days it is, some days it's not. Some days it's 90, some days it's 40. It's living in Texas is so much fun. Oh, my gosh.
Never a dull moment, that's for sure.
Never a dull moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's good to have the different seasons, not necessarily all of them in 4 days, but, you know, still, it's the transitional, lovely time of year because, you know, even though it may be hot and then it may be cold and then it may be hot again, you still have all the fall flavors and you still have all the, you know, the holiday food that's like right around the corner, and it's all in the store, it's all in our faces, it's all over every place, and it's a wonderful time of year.
It is. And you know, we've kind of talked about a little bit about Christmas lighting, and I asked the guy that I thought I wanted to do my Christmas lights. I said, now how many lights have you done? You know, I'm thinking, you know, he may not have enough experience to do mine. And he said, I'm doing 100 a year. 100 a year. I'm going, wow, 100 a year? I started putting my pen to that real quick. I said, you know, a person, all they have to do is put up Christmas lights, go and rest till next year and do it again.
Yeah.
You know?
You work like 3 months out of the year.
That's right. I mean, they do Christmas lights and I don't know what else they're doing. But it's a money-making proposition.
Wow. And this is that's expensive. I mean, having your lights done, that's, what, a couple $1,000s?
It is. It's $2,000. And if you figure that price, look what they made.
Jeez. That's 200. That's 200,000, right? I'm doing the math
I
right
I said
now.
They could make a living, didn't I?
That's... Yeah, that's 200,000.
No? How many people could do that in 3 months?
I know, 200,000.
Because remember, they start the week before Thanksgiving. They start putting them up for people.
Wow.
And then this goes on till I guess they finish the second week in December.
Wow.
Then they come back and take them all down in January.
Yeah. So like that, it's almost like you make $2,000 or $200,000 in 90 days, but you have like a month off in between.
That's exactly right. It's a good thing, I'm telling you.
Wow. Oh, my
word. Oh, my gosh.
We're in the wrong business. Good.
We're not even in the right business. And then, of course, I went by a house yesterday. They have spent $4,000 to $5,000 on Halloween decorations outside.
Jeez.
I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. It is big. I mean big. You can't even see all the things they've got up for Halloween. It's amazing.
Wow. So if you drive by, you're going to miss something. You have to really park and go watch and look at it.
You've got to park and go look in their yard. I mean, oh, my gosh. It's something else. I mean, we've got so many holidays coming up. You know, they can sell you things for Halloween, they can sell you things for Thanksgiving. You know, you can do decorations for that, and then you're just right on to Christmas.
Yeah.
There's so many things people need, and I'm seeing things out there. This one couple had a catering company from Louisiana come and do a party out here. I've read all about it. And now then all those people that had all that great Cajun food, they're going to invite them back, and they're going to have them do their Thanksgivings.
Really?
Yes, all these people are having Thanksgiving catered by a Louisiana company. Isn't that neat?
Wow, that is cool.
That is cool. I mean, you're not going to have to do a thing.
I know
it. This could become a trend. I mean, I mean, you've got all these dadgum relatives coming that you see once a year, and you don't even have to work. All you do have is catered in, and, man, it's going to be easy.
Well, you did that last year, didn't you? And you said it was great.
I did. It was a fun deal. The chef cooked everything, brought it out, and we put it on the table, folks.
Wow. Easy and delicious.
Yes. And no cleanup. Do you like that? No cleanup.
That's the best part.
I mean, yes, I mean, it was all done. But and that's the first time I've ever done it. And it was a fun deal. And these people that are having it catered from Louisiana, you know, they're going to have a jambalaya. They're going to have shrimp deals. They're going to have everything. They're going to have all that cornbread with all the peppers in it, you know, the whole deal.
And you love etouffee, so that's always a winner.
I do. I love crawfish etouffee. That's one of my favorite foods. So when it comes to food, almost everything except real hot food. I'm not into Poblano peppers.
Oh.
I'm not into ghost peppers.
Yeah.
I'm not into all that.
That'll tear you up.
It will. I mean, you know, once you get that in your mouth, you're going to be crazy. You're going to be looking for a gallon of water. But no, I don't like all that. I love Louisiana food. I love Mexican food in moderation.
So it's the flavors, not the heat.
It's the flavors I love, yes.
So did you get your lights scheduled? Are they?
Yes, my lights are scheduled the day after Thanksgiving. I'm scheduled. I'm on the list.
Okay, good. I know.
Yes, I got mine done. You know, I was looking around, and I said I'm going to get three prices, and I did. And I ended up with the landscaper that does everything in the yard. And he's the one that said he does 100 houses.
Jeez.
I said, well, if you've been doing 100, I believe you can do mine.
Yeah, you can do 101 now.
That's right. And he knows the house, knows the yard. So this ought to be, you know, pretty dadgum simple.
Is it the kind, now you've got your own lights, right?
I have all my own lights, yes.
Okay. And that's okay? He doesn't make you rent them or anything like that?
No, no.
Okay.
Now, a lot of those people, as you know, they buy them and let you use them, but they keep them where you use them every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got some sneaky things.
That's how they get you.
And then they all want LED lights anymore.
Yeah.
They don't want to do your lights if they're not LED.
Mm.
And weird. I think most of mine are.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think I changed them out last year. We had a lot of lights out, and so we just changed them out to LED.
Well, gee, I think Thanksgiving, because I think, you know, okay, well, the day after Thanksgiving, that's not bad, but it might be a little bit late. But, boy, I think Thanksgiving is a little early this year. I think we're just about a month away, I think.
It's we like are the 23rd. It's the 22nd.
22nd, something like
it's
that.
Thursday. It's always a Thursday. Remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, geez, I can't believe that, you know, it seems like it should be like a ways away, but boy, to be almost a month away from Thanksgiving already, what's happening?
Time is marching on or without us.
Yeah.
And it's just moving along.
Have you planned
your
Thanksgiving?
It's been a fast year.
Have you gotten it all that secured? Because if you're going to do any catering.
About half of it. About half of it.
Are you cooking this year or are you having it brought in?
Well, I really think I'm going to cook.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
I've got a lot of it already frozen if I go that route.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I remember last year you were so impressed. You're like, I want to do this for every holiday. But I'm like, I know how much you like to cook. And so
that's right.
Sure.
I mean, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And lobster bisque was the best I've ever had.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
If it was up to me, I would have that, you know, once a month at least.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that'd be a treat.
Yeah.
Well,
it
good.
It would, but not everybody does it, so it's hard to do.
Well, at least you're all set for the holidays, so.
I think so. I think I've got it covered.
Now it's just this Christmas shopping and all that, so good
That's
luck.
Right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what's the news this week? What do we need to know about?
Well, we've got one big policy we're bidding on. I hope we're going to get it. It is glioblastoma. In other words, he's got brain cancer. It's about 18 months, so it's a short one. But we don't know. The bidding is fierce right now. And then we've got a couple smaller ones we're bidding, like a $500,000 and a $250,000. We're actually bidding, one that that we really like, as you know, pancreatic cancer. I don't know if we'll get it or not. If we do, it'll be a great policy. As you know, the last one we had came in a year early, and we, you know, that one just matured the other day.
Yeah.
So they're hard to get, but they are great because they're short. And so anyway, we've got new customers coming, putting new money in. We've got people doing annuities that are fixing to retire, and they want to be sure that they're in annuities where they've got that income the rest of their life. Where they don't have any worries. They know their money's guaranteed. And then we've got people that are doing life settlements. We've got a lot of new customers doing life settlements. The life settlement market, you know, has slowed a little bit from what it was back in the summer. But I think we'll be getting, new policies very shortly in addition to the ones we've got coming. It looks that way to me.
When you say the market has slowed, it doesn't mean profits or anything like that. It just means availability of policies, right?
Availability. Okay. We've been having trouble getting policies that fit. You know, it has to fit our criteria. They've got to be under 74 years old. It's got to be stage four. It's got to be the cancers that we really like to do. We throat cancer, we've done quite a few of those, been very successful. Breast cancer is a big one with us because we've had so much success with it. Colon cancer, and those are the ones that we tell people to send us. You know, the ones that have got these type of cancers because we know how it reacts. We know that it's already metastasized. It's in more than one location. So that's what we're really interested in. We've had an awful lot of maturities this year. How many did I say the other day? Do you remember?
It was a lot, though. It was a massive number. I remember that.
Yes. And we've just had, since 18, we've had over 100 million.
Yeah.
Altogether, since we started, we've had 200 million
Jeez.
Of maturities, money back to the clients.
That's amazing.
So, clients have had, one of our filings the other day, the state asked, have you had any maturities? We go, 200 million. I mean, we've had probably more maturities than anybody I know.
What's that?
So we've done a pretty good job.
Since
we've got a lot of maturities out there. Do what?
Since 2018?
Since 2018, we've had over 100 million.
Golly.
I mean, that's... altogether, since we started in 2013, we've had 200 million.
Jeez. I mean, you start to break that down, 200 million in 10 years. I mean, that's a lot of money every year.
It is a lot of money. And a lot of people are in more than one policy all the time. Every time I look at maturities and I pull it up to see who all's in it, I'll say, this person's in it, they're in the other policy, and they're in the other one. So the consistency is what makes money. If you're in more than one all the time, you're making money. If you're sitting there in one, then you don't do one, then you do one, you're not going to make near as much money because it's all inconsistency, repetition, being in more than one. And that's what makes money. And then, both of these that we just had mature, they came in early. One came in a year early.
Oh.
Yeah. So they both came in early, which is amazing.
I won't.
This Turner policy that just came in, we did it November the 4th of 22, and she passed away, some time ago. And then the other one we did in March of this year, and she's already passed away.
Oh, wow. That is fast.
Yeah. So both of these were fast. She had breast cancer, and you know, we did it in March 1st, and she's already passed away. But breast cancer is that way. If it's that second time around, you usually do not make it.
Yeah.
So we've had an awful lot of success with that. The other one was pancreatic cancer. And so it was just a little over a year, and it was a lady. Usually pancreatic cancer is men, and that's one of the few women we've had with pancreatic cancer.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
Right. All the others we've done have been men. But this lady did have pancreatic cancer. It lasted just a little over a year. They'd given her, I think, 2 or 3 years. But pancreatic cancer does not last that long. I've had people tell me, that clients of mine, that they've had an uncle or aunt that got pancreatic cancer and was dead in 6 weeks. They didn't know they
God.
Had it.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those that you do not know. So it's a fast move. Lots of times they'll give them 2 years. I've never had one live 2 years.
Hmm.
So we know how it acts. And the others, we've done them over and over. You know, we're used to them now. We know how they work. We know how it lasts. And until last year, we had never had throat cancer. And I think it's because they were smokers. We've had 2 or 3 throat cancers. They didn't last a year.
Didn't you have a tongue somewhere along the way?
Yes, we did. Remember that? We did that tongue one?
Yeah.
And they've already passed away.
Oh, wow.
I forgot about the tongue one. Yes.
Interesting.
It's just hard to do anything with that.
I don't want to like ask about any personal information, but on average, your most successful investors, how many policies would you say that they're in at any given time for the ones that are doing the
best? I would think they're probably in 10 to 20.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, they're in at least 10 to 20.
When new investors come over, how do they usually say, okay, put me in 2 or 5 or 10, or do they just kind of like see how it works, or do they have a specific?
Yes, we start them out. We'll start out, and then we say, okay, we'll do 2 more, and see how it works, see how you like it. And once they have that first maturity, you know, then they kind of know how it works. They know how long it takes to get a maturity, and what kind of policies are the best. And, you know, our policies are all short-term. You know, that's why sometimes we have trouble getting them, because we're not going to do anything, you know, over 3 years.
Yeah. You've
If it's over 3 years, it's not short-term.
You've got a lot of policies that that you look at, but just there's so many that don't qualify for your standards because you are looking for specific types. And so,
that's right. And if they don't qualify, we kick them out.
Yeah.
And usually we'll get 4 or 5 policies a week from different companies to look at. And, you know, lots of times they're 80 years old. Well, those will go fast. Or the premiums are too high. Mm. And if the premiums are 6 or 7%, there's nobody going to buy it. You know, nobody's going to take that risk.
Hmm. Has all the landscape of availability of policies kind of like, I don't want to say push, because I don't want to make it sound like that, but kind of like let people open their eyes a little bit more to different options like annuities? I know the bonuses are very attractive, but has the availability of policies kind of, you know, made people look in other directions as well?
No, I don't think so. I think it's their age and their circumstance. We have a lot of customers now that are getting older. They've been with us 10 years. They've been with us 8 years, whatever. And, you know, we don't think about what age they were when they came with us. So they've been with us a long time. So now they're in their 70s, 73, 74. And so now they're thinking they should have some annuities also. So when they have maturities, they're calling and saying, Faye, I think I want to do some annuities now because of my age. And then we had someone this last week that inherited an IRA.
Oh.
And so we're trying to decide what to do about that, you know, whether to put it in life settlements and go on like he's doing, or to put it in annuity, because it's different. It's an inherited. It's not part of his regular IRA. So, you know, he has to make a decision about that.
So when I hear you kind of lay this out, is it fair to assume that most people, when they're early on in their investment career, they will go more towards life settlements. And as they get a little bit older, maybe you just naturally switch over to annuities? Or is that?
Yes, I think that's right. People who've been successful have money piled up. They've been in life settlements, so they're doing good. But then after they get to that certain age, and I never had noticed it before, now they're saying, let's do annuities. They've still got life settlements over here on the left, but they're taking some money and doing annuities because of their age. They've been with us a long time. And then we'll have people, new people coming in, and they may want to do annuities because of the age they are.
I'm sure there's people that are listening, so I'll just go ahead and ask. There's people that I'm sure hear you say that, and it's like, what's the advantage? I know that, like, as the investor gets older and they get in their 70s and whatnot, they want to change, but what's the advantage of taking on maybe more annuities as they get older?
Well, there's a lot of reasons people do annuities. First, the money's always guaranteed. It's always safe. The interest locks in once a year. So it's a short term on your interest every year. It's compound interest. You don't pay any taxes till you take it out. So if it's sitting in your account, you're not paying taxes till you write that check and take some of it out. You can take 10% out the rest of your life. Annuities are forever. You can do a 10-year annuity and renew it. You can do a shorter term. There's all kinds of things you can do with annuities. And it mirrors the stock market without ever getting involved in the stock market. So you've got choices, lots and lots of choices. You can go a fixed rate. You can do all these indexes. You can change them every year. You can mix and match them. There's just, annuity is versatile. And then, of course, it's written by a life insurance company that are worth billions of dollars. You don't have to worry about them because they've got more money than anybody. They don't make loans. That's why they're not having to put up extra capital. They have capital up on everything they do. So annuities are one of the safest products they ever made.
What is it like?
And as long as you do index fixed annuities, there's no risk.
I'm trying to remember.
Variable annuities have a huge risk because those are sold by the brokerage houses and they're mutual funds.
Yeah, that's where you get in trouble.
These never have mutual funds. They never have stocks in them. You know, these are index annuities.
Is there 14, and 15 to choose from, you've said before, something like that?
Yes, there's like 14 choices. Mm. And right now they've got that 12% bonus. Mm. Now, if you're going to put money in every year, you can get the 20% bonus. There is a fee for that, but it has a lot of extras in it. On the fourth year, if you had an emergency, you can take it all out. Also, they add 4% to your holdings at the end. So there's a lot of good things, but it's mainly for people that are going to put money in every year. Now then, on the 12%, every year that you put money in that, you'll get that 12% bonus.
Jeez.
So it's not a one-time deal, but a 12% bonus is a lot of money.
It's like, I'm hearing annuities and all the advantages, and I'm just hearing gobs of money on top of gobs of money. You know, you've got the compound interest, you've got, you know, bonuses, you've got the fact that you're not in the stock market, so you've got that kind of like safety, conservative safety net. So I just hear just people making money hand over fist with annuities. Am I?
Well, they do, and it's conservative.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna make money. Let's say it didn't make money for a year. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't go down. That's why it's different than the stock market. Annuity never goes backwards. It might not make money one year, but it'll stay level. They don't take any of your money out. If it doesn't make money, it just sits there. So it's safe. There's not anything bad that I know about an annuity. And then you can leave it to whoever you want. That's what I like. Mm. You know, you can have as many beneficiaries as you need. Of course, if you're married, you want your wife to have it. You can do an IRA annuity. You can do a joint annuity with your wife. There's just all kinds of annuities that you can do. You can do an inherited annuity. If somebody had some money and they left it to you, you can do an inherited account. And that's different. You have to have it all out but in 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to take it out of whatever you've got it in. If somebody gave you an inherited annuity or inherited account even, they won't let you just keep it forever. They want the taxes on that.
Hmm.
So they want to be sure you're going to liquidate and pay the taxes.
Do, and I know people can set up annuities for a bunch of different things like you're talking about, but do many people come in, say, I don't know, maybe... And I'm just kind of making something up here, so you'll probably have to correct a lot of this. But do people ever come in their, say, their 40s or 50s and try to set up something for, like, kids for college and stuff like that?
We do a lot of that. I've had several people say, okay, they are usually more concerned about their grandchildren.
Mm.
And they'll say, look, I want to put $10,000 in for every grandchild or $25,000 or something like that. And then lots of times people say, I want $25,000, $25,000, and $25,000, and my grandchildren are in their 20s. So then the grandchildren are not going to inherit this for years. So it'll give money to buy a house. It'll give money to do a lot of different things, and it's safe. Then I've got a lot of people that have somebody they don't want to inherit, and they're saying, Faye, I do not want this person to inherit. And I say, well, an annuity stands alone. It's not part of your estate. The person you don't want to have anything, put the other people in the annuity and they get it. Nobody else gets it. You're not going to be able to sue and say, you know, I want part of that money. Mm. The annuity is set.
Wow. So there's a lot of safety measures with annuities.
That's right. And if you're being sued, if your money's in an annuity, they can't get it, by the way.
Oh, really?
Do you remember Enron?
Yeah.
When Enron went under? Okay, the guy that owned Enron before the debacle, before he went under, he took $20 million and put in an annuity.
And so that was...
Because he...
It was protected.
Yeah, he knew that. Yeah, it was protected.
Wow.
Do you remember Ed McMahon on The Tonight Show?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. He was in trouble, and he had a huge life insurance company, life insurance policy, excuse me. He sold the life insurance policy to pay for his medical.
Oh, my.
A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know
Ed
that.
McMahon of The Tonight Show sold his life insurance policy, and I don't know who bought it, but somebody bought it at a discount, and he got the rest of the money.
Really?
That's when I first knew about life settlements.
Really? That was the thing that kind of opened the door?
Yeah, that's when I first found out that you could sell your life insurance policy and get money for it.
Huh.
And then later, you know, people had term life insurance policy that had no cash value. But because of life settlements, it's now worth a lot of money. It wasn't before. Before, a term life insurance policy, you couldn't give it away because it had no cash value. You couldn't go down to the bank and borrow money on it because it didn't have cash like if you had a regular life policy. Those you could have borrowed money on. So once life settlements took off, term life policies became valuable. You can sell them. You can get your money out of them. Everybody buys policies. Now a life settlement will buy a term life and not even look back.
Most
of the policies we buy are term life.
And we don't talk about this very much, but you buy, you're a licensed
provider. In Texas.
Yes.
Yes. So if somebody has cancer locally and they say, you know, we really need money, we're bleeding here, they can come to us and we will buy their life policy.
Hmm. And that what that would do is it would cut out the middleman, which means.
It cuts out the middleman if they sell it to us. If you sell it to one of the big boys, they're going to give you 27 cents on the dollar.
Oh, my God. For real?
For real, because we look it up. You know, all that is public knowledge, by the way.
Oh.
And every year they come out and say what they were paying for policies. We know they were paying 27 cents.
Oh.
Yet they advertise, we'll buy your policy. We're going to do it. And they're huge and they're big. They're going to buy them, okay, but they won't pay near what we do.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that kind of a gap.
Oh, yeah. It's a cutthroat business.
Oh, wow. Boy, that's an eye-opener. That's a big gulp.
An eye-opener. And we were shocked when we found out what they were paying.
Oh, my.
Because we're paying a huge amount, and they were paying almost nothing, literally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know what they're telling the people, but we know what they're giving them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I think I'm speechless. I know.
You didn't know that.
I was expecting, 50-60% maybe, cents on the dollar. So I didn't realize that it was that they paid that low.
That's what the big boys are doing. But then you take us and we're paying a huge amount, and that's why we buy so many policies.
Wow. And you get the good ones too. I mean,
we're taking the best. We're not going to take something that somebody's just trying to pawn off on us. We have to make money for the clients. We have to have low premium, or they're not going to do it with us. And we have to make them money.
Yeah, and that's the whole goal. I don't know. We probably don't even know to go down this road, but for like these other people that are buying, like just the people that want to sell their policy so that they can travel the world, and there's absolutely nothing wrong, and they may go on for 30, 50 more years before the policy matures. I don't even know how do they make money doing that? Do they or I mean, they must somehow?
That's right.
I just don't understand how. How they can do that, but I guess it's not for us to understand. So this is Your Money
That's
with
right.
Faye.
We shouldn't understand everything.
No, we don't even worry about it. So let's not even open up that gate. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I see those commercials all the time. I see them on TV where people are, they're in the RV and the wind is blowing and they're out and they're traveling and they're seeing all the sights and they're smiling
and
having a good time.
You believe all that? You just...
Wow. That's the life. All right. So every Saturday around this time, we take a break. We get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Floresville, Texas. There's so many interesting things about Floresville. I am shocked. Floresville was settled by the Apache tribes and the Spaniards. And this was a long, long time ago, as you know. But they, and then after that, the Spanish discovery of the Americans, changed everything. Then the Christian missionaries came. In the mid-18th century, there was a Mission de la Cabras called the Goat Ranch established in Floresville. As a mission ranching operation for the Mission Espaldada. And so they were caring for animals and doing all this. And so the town is named for the Flores de Abrago family. They were descendants from the Canary Islanders. Can you imagine this?
Hmm.
The first ranch down there was in 1836 during the Revolution.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And... Mr. Don Seguin, he was born in 1782 in San Antonio. He settled in the area in 1824. He purchased a ranch, and it was 9,000 acres.
Hmm.
And it was near Floresville. And then, of course, we had the Texas Revolution. These people were involved in it. And then Juan Seguin, they didn't think he did his job. And so he escaped to Mexico and stayed there. But he was a prominent Texas military figure, and he finally returned in 1848, and then he built a home out there, and then he exiled again back to Mexico. But he was a Texas Army colonel during the Revolution. He was a hero, but they, as I said, they blamed him for the loss of San Antonio, which was in the Republic of Texas. So he stayed away a while, and then they thought he had Mexican sympathies and loyalties, but he came back. He made it right. He left Mexico in 1846 and went to his father's ranch and changed everything. But Floresville has got a lot of firsts. They've done a lot of films there. John Conley, our former governor, was born in Floresville.
Really?
Yes. A lot of prominent people were. Now then, the Sugarland Express, if you remember that movie, it was made in Floresville.
Wow. I didn't know that.
The Great Waldo Pepper was made in Floresville.
Jeez.
Starring Robert Redford.
Wow.
So a lot of great things has happened in Floresville. It's an old, old place. As I said, the Apaches and the Spaniards started it. But the whole thing is it's the peanut capital of Texas.
Really?
This is the big news. It is, and I didn't know it. Where do you think peanuts came from?
I want to say Spain.
Peru.
Oh.
Peanuts came from Peru. And this year, they finally said it is the peanut capital, and they've designated it by our legislature finally. But there's third-generation farmers down there who've been growing peanuts in Wilson County. And when they first started harvesting peanuts down there, so they're honoring them now. And he said, we're giving thanks to them. All these people who raised peanuts, a lot of them are dead now. But there's 10,000 people a year go to Floresville to celebrate the peanut festival there.
Really? 10,000?
Yeah. And they grow 200,000 bushels a year.
Good Lord.
200,000 bushels of peanuts are grown in Wilson County a year. They've been there more than a century growing peanuts. And it's called the Peanut Powwow when they celebrate the harvest. And, it's one of the things I did not know that we were the peanut capital. And it's Texas, the second highest growing peanuts in the United States.
Really?
Now, the first queen of the peanut festival was accompanied by the first king, a local farmer's son named John B. Conley, Jr. Yes.
Yes.
That was John Conley, our governor, was the first king of the peanut festival.
Cool.
that's neat. And back in 1930, there were 150 peanut farmers in the 30s. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It doesn't take a lot of acres to grow peanuts.
I guess now that you've mentioned it, they are kind of small, I suppose. Probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But boy, oh and, boy.
And this one family said they plant 500 acres of peanuts.
Jeez.
500 acres.
It's a lot of.
And it's a lot of peanuts. I don't know how much they make, but I would assume it's a ton of money.
Wow. And when is the peanut powwow? What is that?
October 14th.
October 14th. All right. So it's already happened for this year.
Yeah. It just happened. That's why I wanted to talk about it. And it's amazing. Every kind of peanut, we grow them here in Texas. There's four kinds, and they're all grown right there in Wilson County.
There's four kinds?
Four kinds. And people come from 44 states.
Jeez. That's impressive.
To go to the Peanut Festival. I'm impressed. I just can't believe that they have a big parade. They have the largest statue of a peanut in the United States.
That's cool. That's how it should be.
It's a 17-foot peanut.
Oh, my word. I can't believe that I didn't know that there was four kinds of peanuts. I literally never knew that. And I've eaten.
And this guy, this Albrego, who immigrated from the Canary Islands in the 1700s, he established the first ranch in Floresville and had 9,000 acres. I'm just shocked that back then you could have a ranch that big.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal for back then. That's a really big deal.
It really is.
And to have, what would you say, 500 acres of...
Yeah, that one company's got 500 acres. And they're probably the last of the big farmers. And they're Peel, P-F-E-I-L brothers. Yeah. They're third-generation farmers. And they're the last full-time peanut growers there.
Mm. I didn't realize that peanuts were even a thing in Texas. I had no idea we even had them.
I didn't either. I know we've done stories on every other crop.
Yeah.
But I did not know that peanuts was this big. 200. How did I say that? Is it 200,000 pounds?
Yeah. 200,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We've talked about cotton. We've talked about different agriculture. We've talked about wine. We've talked about all these different things.
Yeah, and we've talked about cantaloupe and watermelon. You know, watermelon is one of the biggest things in Texas, and pecans. But I did not know, you know, about this.
Yeah.
200,000 pounds and since 1930s.
This has just kind of like been sitting right under our nose the whole time.
Yeah, it was right here. We didn't know. We had no idea that Floresville had all this going.
Yeah.
And then they made the movies there. John Connolly's from there. A lot of important people are there. And then they come from 44 states.
Jeez.
Just to get our peanuts.
You know, it's just it's fascinating, shocking, cool. I don't know what the right word is, but it's awesome that we have so many different types of climates and soil and ground conditions to have so many different things in one state. It's just it's fascinating to me how we can do all these
the
different
things.
The
land will grow anything in a different location. That's what's so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different things that you can grow here. It's just shocking to me.
Yeah. And to have a 17, what is it? You said 17-foot peanut?
Yes, he's 17 feet tall.
That's intimidating.
They're serious about their peanuts.
Yeah.
You know?
Golly.
And to think that Don Francisco Albrago came from the Canary Islands in the 1700s, and the Apaches were there, and apparently they didn't kill each other off.
Well, that's good.
I mean,
you know, the history, the amount of the different people that have come from there, you know, John Connolly, I can't believe the movies were. It's like, it's like people go for, they've got all these Hollywood sets, and I know sometimes they'll, you know, film on actual locations, but it seems like over the years, you've talked about a number of, like a lot of movies that have been filmed in some location somewhere in Texas. And this is just another one.
Texas is one of the biggest places because it's a right-to-work state. There's no unions. You don't have to hire people just because it's a union. You can hire anybody you want. You can pay them what you want, and you can just do it the old-fashioned way. The Texas Film Commission gives out a lot of money every year to get film companies to come to Texas. They work it hard. That's why so many films are made in Texas.
Yeah.
But I also read that they plant 15,000 acres of peanuts. That
Jeez.
Is a ton.
That is a ton.
15,000 acres. No wonder they're making so much money.
Yeah. And then you stop and think about it, and it's like, okay, that's a very impressive amount of land. But then you think about how, you know, big or how small a peanut actually is, and what you can, you know, the number of peanuts that you can get in a very small space. It's very impressive with the product that they can turn out with such a small spot.
Yeah,
not small.
It's just this is the only family left that's doing peanuts.
Yeah, it's
everybody else has passed away.
Jeez. I didn't know. It's just like, you know, here's yet another movie location. Yet here's another, you know, Texas, you know, thing about of history that goes way back to the 1700s. It's just there's so many different historical, so much rich history of businesses and families that have created gigantic empires and created all these things right here, and we had no idea.
And they brought their peanuts from, you know, Peru and from the Canary Islands, and who would have thought it would become famous?
Yeah.
You know, they brought what little peanuts they had, they planted them, and then they went through the revolution with us. They were, you know, fighting for us, and I think secretly, maybe at one time they were fighting with Mexico against us. You know, but they came back. The guy made right, and you know, the rest is history. But they don't talk about the Apaches much, except they were here when they got here, and they were both here at the same time.
Yeah. And the fact that they didn't kill each other, like you said, it's kind of
That's
impressive.
That's right. They didn't kill each other off, as far as we know.
I'm impressed. Wow, that's fascinating. I'm going to put this on my calendar. Is this happen? Does the festival happen every October?
Every year, and when it does, they said there's 44,000 people come from all these other states just for our peanuts. I mean, maybe they don't have peanuts in every state.
Maybe
I'm beginning to wonder. You know, I wonder about that.
How did all these people in all these other states know about all this and we didn't?
That's what I want to know. How'd they find out about our peanuts? And, of course, a lot of candy is made from there, I'm sure, because of all the peanuts.
Oh, Lord. I'm sure. I didn't even think about that. Goodness.
Yeah, the other things are made off of that. And remember, all peanuts are cooked, and they have to do all that after they sell them.
Yeah. Jeez, I had no idea that there was another big business right under our nose. I'm gonna put this on my calendar for next year. I want to go see. I want to go see the festival.
Yeah, you need to go and see this, and take pictures for us, and a picture of the peanut, the big peanut.
That's gonna be cool. I'm looking forward to that as well. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I don't know anything about peanuts, but I'm guessing probably the profit margin is probably pretty substantial.
If we knew the net worth of these old boys, we'd know, wouldn't we?
I know it. I'm almost afraid to find out. There's another wrong business that we're not in.
That's right. There's always these things that we find out about. You know, I'm still reeling from Ben E. Keith, $6 billion a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like there's so many different things that you can make, and you don't even realize, you know, what, you know, the strawberries, you know, it's like that. I remember that story. That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right here by me, and I didn't even know it.
Yes.
And when I found out and went out there, I was just in shock. And the other thing was they didn't even have a big sign up, remember?
Yeah.
They just had a little tiny sign. I'm going, oh, my gosh. And it wasn't on probably – I don't think there was 10 acres there, and they're making all this money on strawberries on this little bitty acreage.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. There's so many things we've missed out on.
And don't they make, like, jam and all kinds of other products
and
stuff?
Oh, they do. They make five kinds of things. It's just like, remember the preserve peaches, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Down there in Kerrville, I believe it is. Those two brothers started a roadside stand when they were going to high school, and now their preserves are sold all over the world.
Wow.
These are Texans that are smart.
Yeah, they are. Smart and resourceful.
I mean, resourceful? How many people would have two kids in high school and start a little deal on the, you know, summers? And make it into a global empire.
I know, right? It's almost like you when you're a kid, you sell your lemonade, and then what if you had like turned that into some kind of a lemon empire of some kind? It would be literally just like that. It's like, wow, how do you do that? It's impressive. It really is. Very smart people are grown here for sure.
And most of them never went to college. I hate to admit that.
Oh, that's another
thing. Never saw the inside of a college. And all these people from the 1700s were just smart.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't any doubt about it. When we read about them, 1700s, 1800s, even the 1900s, they just went out here, went to work, and how to do it, and made it big.
Yeah. They saw an opportunity and decided, I'm going to learn about this, and they just do it, and then it's fascinating how people have actually learned what they needed to learn based on an opportunity that they saw and a gap in the market. And it's like, huh, here's an opportunity. You know, most of us are a little bit too grounded sometimes to see the vision
That's
for something
right.
like that.
And do you realize all of them worked hard. I mean, they were hard workers, great thinkers, and went out and did it. They didn't have to go out here and get their dad's money. They didn't have to go out here and live it up and have three sports cars and all this. They had a team of wagons and mules and went out here and did something with their life. I'm impressed.
Me too. They just did it without having to, you know, showcase it and be all flashy and dashy. And, you know, they just kind of like went under the radar. And I'm very impressed with the way that, that so many, and you've had so many stories over the years about people just like that. And it's very impressive to see people doing that and be successful. So it's really cool. Okay, so for life settlements, we should probably run over the risks about those. There's two big ones. The biggest one is?
The biggest one is it could go over and you would have to pay fees. You'd have to pay your part. So that's why we always tell you up front what the fees are. In other words, if it goes over, you're going to have to pay premium. And it'll tell you in the when we do it in the contract, it says, okay, if it goes over, here's what your premium would be. So you always know up front what the cost would be. If it doesn't go over, it's not going to cost you anything. And we also always escrow a year more than what the life expectancy is. We don't ever talk about that, but we always escrow an extra year. So unless it goes over that extra year, it will not cost anything. So that's your biggest risk. The other risk is, remember, it is not liquid until it matures. Not liquid till then. But the profit's good. We haven't talked about that today. The profit is 1% a month. So if it's a 24-month life expectancy, you get 24%. Doesn't matter if it comes in early, late, or on time. The amount will not change. It's in the contract what you will make. The contract tells you everything. You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. So this is, you know, that's the way it is. It's all laid out. You always know in advance. Then if you have questions before you close, you can always call and say, I want to talk to Faye. I want to ask her some questions. I have people that do that every once in a while. They'll say, Faye, do you think it's a good policy? And I'll say, I think it's either here or there. But I always tell you.
You know, you touched on something real quick that I think is probably a big deal, especially to new investors who maybe are thinking about coming over, maybe starting your life life settlements. It comes in early, you still get the same profit. It's not that, you know, anything
gets adjusted. You're not going to get any less.
No. Yeah.
If it comes in early, you get the 24. If it comes in on time, it's 24. If it's late, it's still 24. Whatever it is, the contract tells you what you'll be paid no matter what.
Yeah.
It's set in stone.
Yeah, and so I'm sure that's probably. Do you get reaction from people when they come over for the first time and start life settlements, when they find that out, when that actually like kind of sinks in, that no matter when it comes in, you already know ahead of time what your profit is going to be? Is that?
Yes, I go over that when before they ever sign up. I go over all the risk. I go over the profit angle. I go everything that's going to be in the contract where they'll know what to look for. I tell them about the life expectancy, how it's going to read. It's from doctors. It's going to tell them everything that they ought to know. It'll tell them when they got sick, how many treatments, if it's a relapse, what their chances are, and how sick they are. If they're on chemo, it tells them all of that. So I tell them all of that up front where they'll know.
It's a very well-informed investment, that's for sure. You mentioned the risks. You mentioned the accreditation for life settlement. Are there any kind of qualifications necessary for, say, an annuity? Because people are really interested.
Not near as much. Okay. It's not near as hard. They're going to look at what your monthly income is, what your assets are. They want to make sure when you take this money out of the bank or savings, wherever, that you have enough to cover all expenses at home. They will not do it if you have a negative. In other words, if you don't make enough to pay all your bills, no, you cannot have an annuity. So you have to have savings. You have to have money in the bank where that if something happens, you always have backup. You have to have emergency money.
Okay. What about risks for an annuity? Are there any?
I don't think there is a risk, really. it's a long-term contract. It's 10 years. You can do a shorter one, but you know all this going in. So we go over every faucet of an annuity before you ever do it. So you know what it could make, you know what is required, and the minimum is $100,000.
Okay. We talk sometimes about either or, like either life settlements or annuities, but you have a bunch of investors that do both, right?
Yes, I have a lot of people that do both. Sometimes they have extra money and they want to put it in an annuity, or lots of times they'll bring more money and put it in life settlement. I've got several people right now that have just added to their portfolio on life settlements. And another thing that was brought home to me this week, you know how careful we are. Like if you say, Faye, transfer money from this account to that account. We'll put it in writing. We require it in writing. But then James, Chris, the vice president, will call you and say, do you want this done? He always talks to you before anything is done. And this week we had a break in our security and someone, you know, got our passwords and they sent it in to Nevada Trust and said, we want to make a transfer. And he knew right then it was fake and fraudulent. And he asked me, he said, well, how much do you want to transfer out of her account? They said, oh, $50,000. He said, where do you want it to go? And he just listened to all this and got the information on them. Mm. So, you know, they check everything, whether it's my account, your account. They're not going to do anything until they've always talked to you. And banks don't do this. Lots of times they get just transfer it, you know,
yeah,
just by seeing it in writing. They will not. They always verify it with that person, and that's a safety precaution that other banks don't take. They don't. It's not that personal. You know, I hear people complain all the time that their bank sent the money out and they can't get it back. Well, if they had James Chris, they would, because he wouldn't let it go out in the first place.
Well, that's good to know that there's an actual like good person that pays attention.
He does pay attention. And when somebody tells me, Faye, go ahead and pay my premiums, I relate it, and that's all I do. I relate it to Nevada Trust, and then I call the client and verify. Everything is verified personally.
Jeez.
And if banks did that, it would be a lot safer environment.
Yeah, no doubt. You don't see that every day, that's for sure. That's
no,
good to know.
But they go that extra mile for safety, and they're very safety conscious about that.
All right, so for somebody new wants to come over, how long would it say between annuities or life settlements, how long would it take to get somebody set up and get, you know, to where they're starting to make some money?
About 2 weeks right now. We're about 2 weeks out.
All right.
So by the time we get the money transferred for you, unless you're writing a check, it's a little quicker when you write a check from your personal account. But usually it takes a couple of weeks. Everything has to be sent into Nevada Trust. They have to approve you to set up the contract and set up your account. And sometimes it's two accounts, like a husband account, a wife account, you know, or a corporate account. Whatever account it is, we get it done. But it takes a few days. And then you're ready to go.
Nice. That's a pretty quick turnaround. It's rather impressive, actually. So. Okay, so for people want to come over, maybe get started, want some more information, I assume it's business as usual. You have appointments available this coming week to talk to people, yes?
That's right. We'll be talking to people, getting accounts set up for them, get them to making money, and do it safely.
Cool, and that's the key, doing it safely. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.